Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Hello and welcome to the People Who Read People podcast. I'm Zachary Elwood. This is a podcast about better understanding other people and better understanding ourselves. You can learn more about it and sign up for a premium subscription at behavior-podcast.com. On this episode, I talked to Martina Dove, who's the author of a book titled The Psychology of Fraud, Persuasion, and Scam Techniques. I talked to her about various scams that are common today, including several that I've seen firsthand and been curious about. For example, we talk about email phishing scams, where the scammers send you fake invoices or other things to get your attention and try to get you to give them information or click dangerous links. We talk about fake apartment rental scams, which I saw were common in New York City and other places. We talk about online romance scams. We talk about scams that involve people sending wrong number texts and starting conversations, and more. Because we're reviewing a lot of scams, this episode might be a good one to share with your older family members, because older people are especially vulnerable to getting scammed. Along the way, I get a chance to ask her some things I've always wondered about some of these scams. For example, is it true that some email scams are purposefully bad and fake-looking in order to pre-select for the most gullible people? And I ask her if there is a downside to replying to scammers, like I sometimes do, just to mess with them and have fun with them. Martina's book was an interesting read with a lot of details about how specific scams work and the psychology behind what can make them work. She also developed a model of fraud susceptibility, which attempts to point out the personality traits and situations that can make people more susceptible to scams and frauds. A little more about Martina Dove. She's a researcher with a passion for fraud prevention. Her research concentrates on individual characteristics that make people susceptible to fraud, scam and persuasion techniques used by fraudsters, and human factors that make us vulnerable to fraud. Martina is especially passionate about destigmatizing fraud victimization and fighting fraud by teaching people how to spot scammers' cunning techniques. She currently lives in Seattle and works in the cybersecurity observability space. You can learn more about her at her website, martinadove.com. If you enjoy this talk, you'll enjoy some other episodes in my back catalog. For example, I have a talk with Tim Levine, who researches deception, and we talked about his truth default theory, which is about our tendency to assume other people are telling us the truth, which can be seen as a root cause in scams. Okay, here's the talk with Martina Dove. Hi, Martina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So maybe we can start with what led you to researching this area.
So I kind of like fell into researching psychology of fraud purely by accident. A happy accident for me because it ended up being a really interesting topic. I did research around the Barnum effect for my master's. Really, the Barnum effect is a cognitive bias that is very, it just basically what it means is that people accept very vague feedback, thinking that it's very accurate of themselves. For example, if you go to a clairvoyant, the clairvoyant may say, you know, sometimes you're very outgoing, but at other time you're very shy. And you think, well, yeah, that sounds like me. But really, like that basically sounds like almost anyone in a population. Mm-hmm. So you accept this vague, very applicable feedback as a, kind of like a very personalized feedback. So I wanted to do something with the Barnum effect for my PhD, and I was struggling to find a good way to apply what's interesting, right, about the Barnum effect to like how would that work in a real world. I struggled for about a year kind of narrowing down this, you know, focus of my PhD. And then I read this really cool article about psychology in phishing emails. And when I read it, I was like, yeah, like this is really, really cool. And I think I should do this. And that's really where the idea was born and how I ended up kind of focusing my PhD and my research into looking at like individual characteristics that make people vulnerable to scams, as well as scam techniques and how scammers operate and how do they persuade.
And for the Barnum effect, and I've seen a lot of videos of this, of psychics doing precisely what you said, of saying something really vague and hoping that the person they're talking to will associate with that. And I'm curious, what do you think the Barnum effect says about people? Like, what is the implication for what it says about human psychology that we fall for that?
Yeah, I mean, like really humans, you know, there are a lot of cognitive biases. Barnum effect is just one of those. Like, for example, there's another one called the IKEA effect. We value what we create ourselves more, even though it's not as valuable as something else, but because we invested time. So what it tells us about us as humans is that we are not computers. We don't think completely rationally, right? We attach some emotion to it. We attach our own biases to anything that we process. We attach our previous experiences to everything that we process. And it makes sense, right? Like if something is so vague that it applies to many people, it's also true of ourselves. So kind of that's how the Barnum effect works. Sometimes we see meaning, a unique meaning in things that don't have any meaning and so on.
So I really liked reading your book for all the descriptions of different kinds of scams. I mean, some of them I hadn't heard of before, and it was interesting to read the details of how some of those played out. What were some of the more interesting and surprising scam attempts that you learned about in your research? Were there some that stood out to you as like, oh, that was interesting and a creative scam, basically?
Yeah, like I would say, you know, like scams have been around for centuries. Like there have been books documenting. In fact, if you read a book by P.T. Barnum, who was a magician in the, like, I think 17th or 18th century, he wrote about the scams that are still in operation today. So the scams haven't really changed that much. What's changed is the narratives and how they're addressed. And what are the technological things that scammers are using to get those scams delivered to more people or make them more believable? Certainly one of the more darker scams that I've heard about, I mean, obviously pig butchering scams are very serious. And I've heard of cases that are like very devastating. And it always really surprises me when a scammer goes to a great lengths to create a credible appearance, if that makes sense. Like I remember I was interviewing a fraud victim very early on in my research, and the scammer has created a fake limited company on a government, like, you know, registered it with a government. So there was really it's like impossible to tell that this was a scam company. Mm-hmm. You know, there was nothing because as a new company, you haven't filed any taxes yet. So kind of like to a victim that wanted to do the due diligence that, you know, seems credible. But it's kind of like unbelievable. What are some of the lengths that scammers do go through? And then another scam that comes to mind, which was really interesting. Another person that I was interviewing told me about a scam that happened to them, although they didn't fall for it. They were traveling in Brazil and they wanted to buy like an Amazon tour. And they walked, they got kind of enticed into a shop by a person that was standing on a street. And this person was very well dressed and presented and spoke really good English and got them into the shop. And while they were in a shop looking at the brochures and like what the tours entail and so on and what do you have included, another tourist came in, like a Dutch tourist came in, and the Dutch tourist was saying, thank you so much. The tour was amazing. And it was just like amazing. But luckily for the potential victim, what he said to me, like he doesn't like making decisions on a spot. So he always has a rule. He'll say, hey, I'm just going to go and get some money. And that gives them the time to remove themselves from a situation and Google. And when they were Googling the, you know, the company, other people that were scammed were saying, yeah, and he has a Dutch tourist coming in and saying, so it's just unbelievable what lengths some scammers will go through. And if you think about it, that's literally a social proof. It's a persuasion technique, right? Somebody coming in and saying, this was amazing, right? Reread reviews online, you know, and that's pretty much how we get persuaded. We kind of, you know, there are many techniques, but social proof is very potent. And that's what scammers use a lot. But I've never seen it used in a face-to-face setting, if that makes sense. So it's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you say, it's like, I think most of us don't expect people to put in that much work when it comes to the scam. So it's like, if there's a few pieces of information that back it up, sort of like you said, the scammer that had gone so far as to register their company on a government website, it's like you wouldn't expect them to do that, or you might think like, oh, it must have taken something to get on that government website, whereas you pointed out in the book, it was actually the government website didn't actually check anything. They just said, okay, we'll put it up. You know, there was no actual check there.
Yeah.
So I think, the more hoops that they jump through to try to fool you, the more likely they are to fool you.
Yeah. And also one of the things that came strongly out of my research is that people generally find it unbelievable that somebody would impersonate the government or try and kind of hide in a plain sight around the government, because I did speak to few victims that were defrauded in a way around things that are government run, right? Such as the website for registration of companies. And there was another victim that applied for a new passport, but basically ended up paying money to a scammer. So it's one of those things that people find it unbelievable that a scammer would risk so much by attaching themselves to governmental business.
Right.
But like, I guess if you're looking at it from the point of view of the scammer, the best place to hide is in a plain sight, right? Mm. No one's going to look there.
With regards to the Brazil scam you mentioned, and the guy who said it was his normal strategy to say he was going to go get money and then, you know, just leave. I think that's actually a pretty good strategy, because it takes the pressure off. And it actually, you sometimes hear about those kind of scams getting violent, you know, where they're just, they might just rob you or something. So that kind of is a good strategy in the sense that they'll let you go and you just don't have to come back. So I kind of like that one.
Yeah. And I just want to say something about that strategy. That strategy is really smart, because like most of the victims, when they do go through victimization, like fraud victimization, they'll obviously be really scarred and upset and angry. And they'll try to put things in place to not get scammed again. But usually these strategies are all around something like, okay, I don't deal with people on the phone anymore, or I won't buy things online anymore, right? Like they try to, you know, like if you burn yourself, you're not going to go close to the fire anymore, right? Like it's kind of that, but you're not really thinking about like what inside me makes me vulnerable, right? And what I noted that was really interesting about that person is that they knew that they were like unable to say no. They found it very rude to say no to somebody when they didn't want something. Like they couldn't say to person, let me just check some reviews, I'll think about it, I'll, you know, it's just rude to do that once somebody has invested time talking to you. So they almost invented this lie to be able to remove themselves and almost save themselves from humiliation or bad feelings, stress, you know. So like that was really interesting.
It is hard to say no to people. I mean, one of the interviews that stand out to me for the podcast was I interviewed a couple door-to-door salesmen for a very early episode. And we talked about just how hard it can be to say no to someone directly. And I've had that experience many times, you know, when somebody comes to your door and it's like, it is actually hard just to say no. And I'll usually sort of like the person in the Brazil situation, I'll find a way to weasel out of it and not say no directly, you know. But I think that plays into it, as especially for the more in-person scams, especially that it can be hard to say no, and that's a big factor in getting scammed.
And you have to think about the fact that some people are more compliant than others, you know, or more agreeable than others. And so our personalities have a lot to do with it.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Yeah, and you talk about that a good amount in your book, the various psychological personality traits that kind of lend themselves to being more likely to be taken advantage of. I think you had something about having high trust or in authority, or having a lot of trust in other people. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few that are quite influential, and kind of like trusting authority definitely can be exploited, because scammers often pretend to be authority figures. So for people who actually have a lot of respect for authority without questioning, and think about it, like I think especially older generations, have been brought up to really respect authority figures. And that's why scammers always, like Roman scammers are always people in the army. Mm. It's somebody that you would have a lot of respect for, somebody who demands authority of some sort, or the police officers or the lawyers. You know, there is somebody in authority or professions that inspire trust, right? Or like, for example, when I think I didn't get a text, but I know that, in our company, CEO was like saying, I wasn't texting anyone. Do not believe the text supposedly coming from me.
Martina was referring here to a large software company that we both worked at.
Why is that person receiving a text from a CEO? Because that person is in a power over them. So this is why you see a lot of fraud around IRS type things and Medicare, things that are like established as governmental bodies that are generally trusted.
When it comes to some of the most common and effective scams that are out there today that some people listening might theoretically be affected by and might be lesser known, are there certain ones that stand out for you, top of mind?
Yeah, I mean, like I think the newer ones, the pig butchering scams, like I hate the name, but basically pig butchering scams are like becoming more and more common, and they have already defrauded a lot of people, and they have a potential to defraud people of quite a large sum of money. They are very insidious, like they are very dark, and they combine actually two different techniques. They combine both techniques of romance scams and investment scams. And I was lucky enough to be approached by a journalist who was writing for ProPublica, really kind of like investigating these scams and how, really there's an organized scam ring behind that. So some people are even scammed thinking that they're going to get legitimate jobs, but they get jobs having to scam other people. So like one of the, thing that journalist asked me to do is to read few conversations between victims and a scammer and tell him like what are the things at play. And what I've noticed as well, and some are better than others, some of these scammers are more skilled than others. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed a lot is that this adaptability, right? Like they'll start a conversation with the victim and then adapt to whatever the victim wants, right? If the victim is more receptive of financial deals and having a friend or confidant to discuss financial investments, then they'll go down that route. If they're more into, okay, like I want a romantic connection, then they'll they'll play upon that and still squeeze in the investments, but from the kind of more love angle. So they're very, it's an organized
flexible
crime. Yeah, it's very, I would say a lot of the times you passed to different people as you go through the stages of that. It's definitely, I've seen that is becoming those scams are very, very prevalent right now and very successful. And they do typically defraud people of very large sums of money.
If you didn't know this term, pig butchering is a term used to describe long cons that involve taking a large sum of money over time, instead of hit and run type scams. You're trying to milk the victim for a large amount, and this can involve various aspects like romance scams, financial investment scams, or other things. Now we'll return to the talk with Martina talking about how pig butchering scams often start.
It usually starts by somebody texting you or emailing you out of the blue. It's usually text. They'll pretend to be a wrong number. So I've had a lot of, after T-Mobile breach, I got a lot on WhatsApp, and it'll be something like, "Hey, Jenny, I forgot your number, but I think this is it." And then a victim would say, "It's not Jenny, you got a wrong number." And I said, "Hey, thank you for letting me know. I hope you're having a nice day." And then a victim would reply, "Yes, I am having a nice day. I hope you're having." And you get into this innocent conversation at first. Mm-hmm. And which seems like a wrong number because people are already sensitive to getting offers, right? So scammers have now adapted this a little bit. So their way in is actually to pretend it's just an innocent.
Route, yeah.
Exactly. Or they may contact you on Facebook and say, "Hey, we went to school together," or something like that. I've heard of those cases. Mm-hmm. But it's basically just an innocent conversation at first, which then becomes more frequent and more intense. And it's usually specific, and it does have some sort of romantic component, or at least some kind of a sexual desire component. I've not seen, let's say, same-sex conversation, so there's always, some kind of love interest, or at least one-sided love interest, or to kind of get, the victim interested. And it starts from there. And then little by little, the scammer will introduce investments, not in the terms of you should be investing, but kind of like, I'm a trader. I've just made a huge deal. It'll start like that. And then a few days later, they'll say, "I made another huge deal. It's so easy with like trading Bitcoin," mm-hmm. or, and kind of like the conversation, really, the victim will be blindsided, really. So by the time the victim is persuaded to invest, they've already kind of like see this person as a friend, somebody in their life. Like the conversations are very frequent. So yeah, like those are the kind of like things that are going around right now, but also still very prevalent. Romance scams are still very prevalent. Phishing emails, I don't think we'll ever be rid of phishing emails. They still work.
Yeah, before we move on too far, I was going to say the thing you just described of sending the message, the indirect friendly message, wrong number through text. My wife actually got a couple of those about a year and a half ago or so. We didn't know what they were at the time. So the first one we got, it was like, "Hey, are you going to come to that yacht party on Sunday?" And, they use this stuff associated with, mm-hmm. wealthy people, mm-hmm. lifestyle, I think is part of the appeal there. So my wife started having a conversation with this person because we didn't know what it was. And so we were just laughing, and she was, engaging with this person about like, "Hey, where's the yacht party? Maybe we can show up, And then another one, after we realized what it was and we Googled it, and we're like, "Oh, people sent out these really strange, kind of exciting texts to get people's attention, wrong number texts." She got another one that was like, "Are you going to pick up this antique armoire that you said you were going to buy?" It was like another wealthy kind of feeling to the text, we responded to that a little bit too. But that was interesting seeing that played out. And she also had, she must have got really, she, her number must have got exposed, because she also got the one, the well-known one where it purported to be from her CEO. She was working at Impossible Foods at the time. And they even had the CEO's name, and we're like, "Hey, can you do this for me? I need help," so she's had quite a few of those. But speaking of the ones that I've seen myself, I get a lot of the phishing attempts. Like I see a lot of the "you've been charged and here's your invoice" ones, and hoping you'll click on the links. And I get so many of those kind. And I just have a policy now of just I'm not going to click anything in my email. Like if I think it's real, I'm just going to navigate to the website on my own, you know, and just cut out completely the idea of clicking any links in the web browser, in the email browser. Do you think that makes sense as a one strategy?
Yeah, I think it does make sense because you really can't tell. And, you know, like I get almost angry at the advice when people, I still see very outdated advice saying hover over the link and see where it leads. Like, well, that can be spoofed.
Right, they can spoof
and that. Has been spoofed. And I just think like you never really know. And it's just not worth it, you know. But if you have very good examples, please forward them to me because I am sure my email, I've been blacklisted by most scammers. Mm. Because I just like take examples and analyze it and then publish it online for people to see how to persuade.
Take her out of the mix. Yeah.
Yeah, take her out of the mix.
Maybe that's one way to
dark web. There's like a my picture with a warning. Yeah. Do not send to her.
Maybe that's a way to get off the spam list is publish a book on scams. You know, you can get your name off the list or something. That's one route.
Yeah, I think it's been very effective for me. I do have like very old Hotmail email that still gets a lot of spam.
I have Hotmail also. I have a real old one myself. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I go for good phishing emails now.
Mm, yeah, I get so many in there. Yeah, I've got a lot of a wide selection. I should start focusing on them more. But yeah, I just get so many. They're like almost half my emails lately. Yeah, and some of those ones, the invoice ones, are pretty good. Like I've almost been fooled by a couple of them. They really, like you said, they range in quality so much, and some of them clearly like they put a lot of work into. But that led me to a question that I've often heard this idea stated, and I'm not sure if it's accurate or not, or if there's some truth behind it. But some people say that the really bad scam, you know, phishing emails, some of them look purposely bad to try to winnow out, you know, to only focus on the people that are likely to actually follow through and be scammed. So they kind of like self-select for the most gullible people. And that's why they're kind of purposely bad and broken English sometimes and these kinds of things. But I'm curious, does that really hold up? Do you know, or is it more like they're just not doing a good job of creating the scam emails?
No. Well, both really. There's definitely some scammers which are opportunists and don't really invest a lot in creating a good scam because it's relatively easy to just copy something and just, you know, send it. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely truth to what you've said. And there's been some Microsoft research, I think, kind of like looking into why do some of the emails still like say they're from like Nigeria, right? We know about like these emails from Nigerian prince. Mm-hmm. And some of these stories are ludicrous now, right? Like I think there was one like where there was like Nigerian astronaut like collecting money to come back home from space. He was lost in space and he needed money to get back.
Wow.
And, you know, there's a reason for that. Like if you think about, for example, many victims are victimized more than one time. Like when you send something so obvious and so ridiculous, you're identifying who's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And people can be vulnerable for many reasons. You know, there can be people with learning disabilities. There can be people like elderly, people who, let's say, have early onset on dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that, where the family hasn't noticed yet and they're too ashamed to tell their family. They may notice, but they also, at the back of their mind, they still see themselves as a capable adult that can make decisions. You know, so you have these emails that are trying to catch the most vulnerable people. And some people are just impulsive. Some people are just motivated by more risk-taking. You know, like they have a higher threshold for risk-taking. So they just think, well, you know, why not kind of pay this fee? Maybe I really did win a lottery, you know? Mm-hmm. So typically when these scams are sent, they're sent to identify people that can be victimized over and over, you know? And then really the real money is not in that victim replying and being scammed. The money is in selling the details to other scammers.
Interesting.
So like that's basically why these scams are sent.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, Eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best Eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best Eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Hey there, I'm Brad. I'm about to win the Tuesday Night Bowling League Championship. I'm also a highway worker for the Ohio Department of Transportation. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can bowl the winning strike with my buddies.
Remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff, like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Right. And the, you know, and part of it, I'm sure, is they don't want to waste their time on talking to someone for a long time who's going to figure it out. So that's kind of the impulse to like make it purposely bad, because if they made it too good, then they'd like waste a bunch of time talking to someone who at the end is not going to fall for it. So they've just wasted a bunch of their time. So yeah, it's an efficiency strategy of, yeah, going straight for the most vulnerable, as you say.
I mean, definitely there are good scams out there that are going after people that is just like, it really depends what your strategy is. Mm-hmm. There are many scams that, for example, just cast a wide net. And they're not so much like they buy a bunch of personal emails or details and they just send lots of people. And they keep the amount low because they know people are less likely to report when they're, you know, they've been scammed over $50 as opposed to $500,000, right? Mm-hmm. So they keep the amount low, they go undetected for a long time, and they scam people of smaller amounts, right? And then also with the smaller amounts, people are thinking, well, I can risk $10. Right. Mm-hmm. With maybe with 50, you're going to think a little bit more. With 500, you're going to think a little bit more, clearly. Right. Mm-hmm. So kind of like it really depends on a strategy, but I've seen different types of strategies by scammers. And there's definitely scammers that probably just trade in details. Right. So it's not even if you reply to them to a very obvious scam, it's not even that they're interested in scamming you so much as they're interested in selling your details to other scammers. Then take over and target you with offers.
I sometimes reply to email scammers just to like vent and curse at them and stuff like this. But is that a bad thing? Because then they'll know that email is active.
Well, you know, I don't know. You have to have your fun. You know, that's how I see it. Yeah. You know,
I kind of wonder if they would like might get angry and do something even worse to me, like do something with my email. Yeah. Like, is there something that spammers might do?
I mean, possibly.
To, you know, make it harder.
Possibly. Like I have tried engaging with several scammers just to see how the conversation goes from my end. Mm. And I remember one dropped me. Like usually they drop you when you're not complying with what they have a script too, right? When you're not complying with their script, when you're going off script and you're not performing as they expect, they realize you're going to be difficult.
They'll drop you.
And they'll just drop you. A good scammer will drop you. Mm-hmm. And one time I was talking to, like, I think he was definitely a pig butchering type of scam. And it just got like, we were talking for about 2 weeks and it just got to him. Like, it's just so frequent. Like, you have to invent a story and you have to go back and forth and kind of like, and the scammer started berating me that I don't talk to him and he tried getting angry. I was like, I have a job. Like, I don't have that much time to constantly converse. And it kind of petered out a little bit. I think they realized they're not getting stuff out of me. But I think I totally understand why people want to have their fun. I remember in the early days, like in the early 2000s, when people would call a landline and just pretend your laptop, like your PC, infected or something like that. It was like a Microsoft calling. I used to have fun with those people. And so I used to kind of like get those calls and I would immediately start like crying and going, oh my God, not my laptop, not my bio. Oh, like, and they would try and calm me down and they couldn't calm me down. And eventually they would just put a phone down on me. So I used to enjoy that a lot. So I would say, like, You should definitely be careful, because I think with some of the scams, they are organized crime, and there are very smart and powerful individuals behind it. You know, the best thing is to just block and ignore and forget about it. But, you know,
you're kind of playing with fire a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking some chances to have fun. Yeah.
I never know what they are capable of and who it is behind. It may be just like some lone person somewhere trying to scam a few people, or it could just be an organized crime ring that has more information about you than you really want them to.
Yeah.
And then it's best to just not engage.
Or I always thought the worst, one of the worst case scenarios I envisioned was just them like adding my email to some sort of bunch of like signing me up to a bunch of things through some sort of process.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I start getting all these, you know, that was one of the things I envisioned. But
yeah.
So one of the scams I've seen that I'm surprised I haven't seen more people talk about, my wife and I were looking at apartment listings in New York City, and there were more fake ones than real ones. And it was actually hard to even figure out, you know, what the real ones were. And they had, you know, they had set up entire sites that looked like legitimate sites. Like I found this one site, which I kind of want, maybe I should send to you and see what you think. But it looked like they had made, you know, used ChatGPT to like fill out a website. And like they had like AI created looking photos of the realtors that worked there. And like, I Googled the name and couldn't find, you know, it looked really shady. It looked like a fake company, but this is just to say there were many of these kinds of things where, you know, they're just trying to get people, desperate people, to put down a down payment. Cause it was a lot of stuff like, you know, if you send us a thing now for this great apartment, you can reserve it now for just sending us a few hundred dollars, this kind of thing. And it seemed like, you know, New York City, where people are desperately trying to move and desperately trying to find nice, cheap places, it seemed like a great breeding ground for scams. And it just made me think, like, this is probably happening like in every place of the world, you know, because all it takes is, I bet, I just would think they'd be making a lot of money. And I'm surprised I haven't seen more about that. Do you know much about that?
Yeah, like I'm not surprised. Those scams have been around for a long time. But one thing that is quite serious is the fact that you can so easily generate AI generated image. And why that's kind of like problematic is that before they would have to steal an image. And of course that's worse because somebody's image is being stolen, but you could more easily reverse image search and find whether that image is appearing anywhere else, or whether it's a unique image, right? So a lot of the times you can reverse image search and you'll find, you know, like even for businesses saying before and after photos of like some miracle yoga, facial yoga, and then I found images on, I don't know, plastic surgery website. Like, so it wasn't a yoga, it was a facelift, right? But, you know, like that was kind of like, you know, we were able to do that before, whereas now it's not so easy. Right. So it's going to be a little bit more difficult to find out whether, you know, the image has been stolen somewhere else. So I think that's kind of something that is definitely going to trip a lot of people that are used to conventional ways of verifying information. I don't know, like it's tough, especially if you mimic a genuine person, right? Like a genuine realtor. So maybe if you Google the name, you'll still have some results somewhere for certifications or something like that. Many years ago, I was looking for an apartment too, and had a similar experience. I think the person wanted, I think the rent was like really good value for like central London. So I kind of knew it was a scam. Those are long-standing. I just think AI has made it easier to make it a little bit more credible.
And also just the ease of creating entire websites, which you can almost do it like a push of a button now and like fill in a bunch of text and all this stuff. And it gets back to that, like presenting, the more it looks like they've have presence in different places, the more credible it seems, you know? So it would actually hold up, well, the more places they put their fake name of their company or something, the more it holds up under a little bit of scrutiny and the website looks kind of legit. And, I was going to say too, I was always surprised that scammers would use easily reversed image searched images, because you can, one trick of the trade there is to go on Instagram, because you can't reverse image search. As far as I know, you can just grab images from Instagram, and that's like, I think that's what the more skilled scammers would do. But yeah, like you said, now they have AI, so they don't even need that anymore.
One time somebody contacted me. I don't know if it was on Facebook or whether, you know, like it was a romance scammer wannabe. And they contacted me and I ran the picture through the reverse image search and it didn't come up with any, with anything. But then I started like really kind of out of curiosity and boredom, I started searching, like, look at the similar images, right? And as I was flicking through, I found the exact, I found the person. So it was a still from the video of this person. He's like an actor and singer, has a, you know, Facebook and like a Twitter accounts and so on.
I used to do some research into fake social media accounts. I had a some outing of fake deceptive Facebook accounts that got featured in Washington Post and New York Times. And unrelated to that, though, there was this other account that I was remembering that was it was a fake, you know, this blonde woman who purported to be a CEO who was a Trump supporter, and she had racked up, you know, a bunch of followers on social media, and she would make all these posts about, like, as a woman, I really don't like Hillary Clinton and all these things. And I did research on her and found out the picture she was using was a picture of an Italian model named Chiara Ferragni. And so I outed this person, and then she shut her, actually found out who the guy was who ran it, and he shut down the accounts and made them private and stuff. But that was interesting, just kind of like, you know, like, why would you use a famous person for your fake, you know, social media profile? Just was kind of like mind blowing, you know, of like, you didn't think that somebody would easily catch you with that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely, you know, like I'm always impressed just how innovative scammers are.
Oh, innovative?
Yeah. Yeah. They come up with like such weird scenarios, and
yeah, some of them are very innovative and creative, and then some of them are pretty, pretty lazy. Oh, and one of the other ones that, I had a personal experience of, my grandparents had that one where, someone called them, and this was like, you know, 20 years ago, but somebody called them claiming to be me and whispering, you know, so you can't identify the voice easily, and saying, oh, this is you're, you know, this is Zach. I'm in jail and I don't want mom and dad to know, and you need to send me some money to get me out of here. And that almost worked on them, and that's a pretty effective one, targets older people and preys on their emotions and such. But I think that's still a pretty common one. Is it, do you know?
It is a common one, but right now, like, what I've heard, hearing more and more cases like that where, like, generative AI, you know, scammers are using generative AI to create actual voice and then calling people with the voice of the person, like, let's say the child, or, you know, there have been cases where parents were called and the child was in distress on the other line, and they've been scammed.
Wow.
It's getting really dark. Like, I think AI has definitely opened a lot of opportunities for scammers. And my fear is that, you know, it's such a powerful technology. And even if we bring regulations and guidelines on how to use it, only legitimate companies are going to actually follow them. And, you know, scammers are already using it. And I've heard of scams where, like, for example, scammers were impersonating a CEO of a company and actually defrauded another company of many, many, you know, of a lot of money. So they're very common already, you know, where scammer doesn't even have to whisper and look suspicious, but just, like, basically recreates a voice.
And then there'll be, you could imagine that with video scenarios too, where it's like a fake kidnapping video or something. Like, we have someone and they just happen to be on a trip somewhere, so they can't be reached, but it's like, look, we have them here and you have to send money. Yeah, all sorts of, I'm sure they're going to think of all sorts of plots. Well, this has been great. Is there anything you want to mention about anything you're working on in this area now, or future projects you have planned?
I'm writing a couple of blog posts and things. I've just contributed to the ebook as well on, like, emerging AI technologies and how that may affect just like the world, but my segment was on how it may, you know, like what are the some of the pros and cons. So writing about that, I have just finished a book chapter for criminology book looking into the rise of personas within, you know, fraudsters kind of like are creating these personas and quite elaborate personas. So if you look at like the recent cases of the Tinder swindler and, you know, Inventing Anna, you know, documentary, like how some of the really, really high profile scammers are creating these personas. And it's not even so much what they tell you with the words, but it's kind of like, what are they telling you with the, with how they present themselves, the context that they weave around themselves. So that's really interesting. Like that's one thing that I think we'll probably see a more of as people get a little bit more clued on into lies that scammers are telling them. There's going to be a lot more lying without saying anything, you know, just kind of presenting yourself, you know, what you were saying, right? Like when your wife got a text about a yacht, right? Like that immediately tells you something about that person without them actually spelling it out, right?
Right. More indirect. So yeah. your defenses are down. Yeah. Well, this has been great, Martina. Thanks for your time and thanks for your work on this.
No, thank you. And it was really fun chatting.
That was Martina Dove, author of The Psychology of Fraud, Persuasion, and Scam Techniques. You can learn more about her at her website, martinadove.com. If you enjoyed this talk, you might enjoy some other episodes in the back catalog. I have a compilation of episodes focusing on reading and understanding people's behavior and security and investigation type work. Okay, this has been the People Who Read People podcast with me, Zachary Elwood. If you want to know more about this podcast, go to behavior-podcast.com. Thanks for listening. Music by Small Skies.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.